This is At Risk Radio.
Welcome to At Risk Radio. At Risk Radio is a show where we talk about leadership in the church at risk. My name is Mark Stafford. I'm the host of the show. I'm here with David Witt. He's the CEO of SOM International, and with Jesse with the Ministry of Beloved and Beloved. Now, David, we had Jesse on for a previous episode, and he talked about how he was caught up in a lot of sin, and the Lord pulled him out of that. He was radically saved. And so if you haven't listened to the first episode, you'll want to go back and listen to that first episode. But David, today we want to talk a little bit about his ministry, Beloved and Beloved. Tell us a little bit about what Jesse is doing and how it's connected with SOM International.
Yeah, well, Jesse and I am together. They are founders of Beloved. And be love is we first are loved by Christ and then we love others. And Jessica, go more into that. Now, people need to go back to the last session because to understand this ministry, you can understand his story. God worked all this out and then begin to really download the revelation understanding of who Christ he is in Christ and in the word. And we want to hear about that, Jesse, now, how the really the Lord formed the ministry in you and I am and what the Lord's taught you and how you ultimately were led to start this ministry and how you're doing the ministry and how you're even ultimately, we're going to talk about connecting with SOM. So tell that part of the story now, Jesse.
Absolutely. Thanks, David. It's so great to be with you and so great to be able to testify to what the Lord has done because it is his faithfulness and it is his mercy and it is his good work that he started and that he's bringing to completion. And so it's such an honor to testify to it. So back in 2012, when I gave my life to Christ, I was totally transformed. My desire to live for Christ was 100%. I went all in. And within 6 months of being saved, the Lord led me out into the mission field where I first started getting training in a discipleship school, went overseas, lived there for a number of months, traveling in unreached villages and going and preaching the gospel, laying hands on the sick, seeing God's power move amongst the nations. And it was so impactful because over those next years, 2012, 2013, 2014, I got to go to a number of different nations and in Mozambique, Africa, live with the poor. And God just started teaching me so many messages about who he is as my father and who I am as his son, and how he'll teach me everything that I need to know when the timing is right, and how to love the poor and love the broken, and to see people for more than what they do, but for who they're made to be, and to understand that the Father saw me that way when I was in my darkest hour. And as I started to grow into that and realize that in my worst moment, God wasn't looking at me just frustrated and bewildered, wondering, this guy's a knucklehead. Why is the point of even going after him? He was seeing me and thinking, this is my son who I made in my image and in my likeness. And I know the purpose and the plan I have for him. And I'm never going to lose sight of that and let what he doesn't see change what I do see. And so God began to show me this over the years, that that's how he saw me. That's how he saw the world. And that the cross really wasn't just to expose my sin, but it was really the cross was there to remove my sin. And in so doing, expose my value and how much God loves me and wanted me to be restored to who he made me to be. And so that was all a very intimate experience that the Lord was teaching me over the years.
Yeah. So Jesse, I want to jump in at this moment because it's very profound what you're speaking here, and such an issue of what so many people deal with. So can you think of one story right now that how the Lord exposed how you were thinking wrongly about your identity and not understanding how the Father saw you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that on so many levels for a lot of my life, I live for the approval of people. I just wanted to be accepted by those that were around me, and I wanted to fit in and have friends and have people like me. And so I would be a chameleon in different situations because I wanted everyone to feel like this guy is someone I'd want to hang out with. And so I didn't really realize how deep that ran until the Lord started to show me that Jesus was rejected, but he was accepted in the eyes of God, that he was cast out by his own men, but he was loved by the Father. And so over time, I started to recognize I don't need to actually win the approval of people. I can receive the approval that God has for me in Christ, and I can actually choose to not be in bondage to that. I don't have to live like that now that I'm in Christ. I can give him that place in my heart. And so practically, I started to see people as someone I could serve and someone I could love and someone I could bless, not someone I needed to treat me a certain way for me to feel okay about myself, because I had found that in the Lord.
Wow. That's so powerful. Now, Jesse, I think it just has to come out. How old are you?
So right now, David, I'm 32, and all this happened back in 2012, originally where it all started. So I was 20, just about to be 21 when I got born again. Yeah. So it's been coming up on 12 years now. I've been walking with the Lord.
Incredible journey you had. And here you are as a young person, just flourishing in the Lord and all this. So Jesse, ultimately, how did the Lord then speak to you and I am to start Beloved and Beloved? I mean, he's now showing you his identity, his father's heart. What was that bounding? Was a combination of things? What happened?
So I am and I at the time were actually just friends, and it was back after spending a summer in Africa in different locations. We came back to America here, and we were sitting outside one night fellowshipping, and the Lord started speaking to us very clearly that you cannot give what you do not have, that you can't share something that you don't have personally. And so the Lord was showing us in that night, is 2014, we love because he first loved us. Wow. That is essential to receive the love of God for yourself personally, not just to know about it intellectually for everyone, but to receive it personally for yourself. And then in that place, you can become a living expression of what you've received. And we actually got the phrase that night, just back as friends, be loved and be loved. Because it was so clear in our fellowship, wow, you can't give what you don't have. You have to be loved to be able to be loved. And we looked at each other and one of us said, yeah, it's be loved and be loved. And I am and I back at that time, because we were just friends, we didn't have a ministry together, but we joked saying, well, you know, wonder what that's going to be. Whose is that? What are we going to use that for? And then our story takes a whole nother journey and for another time, but our love story ended up leading us into a place where in 2017, we were married, and David was so special. You officiated the wedding with us and for us. And after we were married 9 months, the Lord really had put it on our heart that he was calling us, mantling us. He had chosen us for a mission, and it was to equip the global body with the message of intimacy with God, identity in Christ, and practical discipleship. Like, what does it actually look like to live those things out day to day?
Wow. Jesse, again, I think people can hear that. What a beautiful history we have together. That was a highlight for me to be able to officiate your wedding and just to see. I've been able to follow so much of this progress over the years. And what I love is between the two of you is the authenticity of your relationship with God. I mean, literally, you're doing a ministry is the way God captured you in a personal encounter with the living God, creator of the universe, through his son, Jesus Christ, and speaking to your heart, cleansing you, taking these desires away. And that's what we need today in this new generation. So we're going to have to break here. Mark's going to bring us out, and then we're going to pick it up again to, again, the further development of your ministry and where you are and how we're working together.
Yeah, when we get back, we'll hear more from Jesse, who's with the ministry of Beloved and Beloved. We'll be right back.
At Risk Radio.
Lost Story Cinema presents a new feature film, the story of Frank Higgins, the lumberjack sky pilot.
More than any class that's lived in our land, these lumberjacks can truthfully say, no man cared for my soul.
The church has forgotten the prodigal while caring for the souls of the saved.
30,000 men? Men to whom God is dead. And Sunday is the harvest day of iniquity. And the saloons and brothels.
But you were there, willing.
Willing, yes, but not ordained, you see.
The Duluth Presbytery is not going to ordain an uncouth lad who hasn't even finished the sixth grade.
Ever since I was a young lad in Canada, I've wanted to pilot men to the skies.
Aren't you the lumberjack sky pilot?
I am.
My brother heard you preaching. He said you's a fellow who never leave a lumberjack down.
I'm too low and vile for even God to do anything with.
But God brought me all this way to find you.
Based on the true story of an ordinary man who would become a giant. The Parish of the Pines, coming soon.
For more information about this film and to learn about a movie premiere near you, Go to theparishofthepinesmovie.com. Theparishofthepinesmovie.com.
Welcome back to At Risk Radio. I'm online with David Witt. He's the CEO of SOM International. Also online with Jesse. He is with the ministry of Be Loved and Be Loved. Now, Jesse, I went through your website and I've been listening to you talk, and you know, you talk a lot about these three things: intimacy with God, identity in Christ, and practical discipleship. So I just want to know if you can just elaborate on that a little bit. Why these concepts? So why are these concepts specifically so crucial and central to the ministry of a beloved and beloved, and how do you incorporate those in the organization's teaching and outreach and your resources?
Absolutely. So the pillar of identity and intimacy and practical discipleship have come to us over the years as God's shown us different things. But as far as intimacy is concerned, Jesus teaches that he's the vine and that we're the branches, and that apart from him, we can do nothing. But if we remain in him, we can bear much fruit. Mm-hmm. And the New Testament revelation of being in Christ is all about being united to him in a life union. And so we emphasize all the time to people the importance of being united to Christ. And in that place, there's a transparency, there's an intimacy, there's a closeness that I just feel like Jesus modeled so perfectly in his relationship with the Father. And if we're wanting to walk after him, I think intimacy with God is going to be one of the things that we must pursue, because apart from him, we can do nothing. And he's calling us to remain and live and dwell in him. And it really leads us into the pillar of identity, because from that intimacy in life union, there's a new birth, there's a new life, there's a new identity. And we start to recognize that the original order God had in the Garden of Eden, that every seed would bear fruit after its kind, gets redeemed in Christ, where naturally we're born through Adam. And so we're from the seed of him and we're multiplying that broken seed. But as we're dying to the old, being crucified with Christ, being raised as a new person in him, we start to see, wow, I have actually a new seed of Christ in me to bear a new identity after the same kind. And so those two pillars just go so perfectly together. As you're united in intimacy to Christ, you find that you have a new identity that's birthed in that, in that intimacy, in that place with him. And then practical discipleship really is just because if we are honest with each other, life is difficult. There's trials, there's troubles, there's situations, there's hardships that we face. And we have to know practically how to live in those two things of intimacy and identity when we face every situation. So what we do is we speak online and we speak in person. We speak locally and we speak internationally. So we have different ways that we're equipping people through our ministry in those different topics.
And you and I am, and I, of course, have been able to have some wonderful trips overseas. I can't wait to get to that. But before we go there, you know, Jesse, we have some people listening probably right now who know there's something wrong and they're hearing your story right now. Maybe give a practical way. How can people identify just the wrong beliefs and brokenness in their own heart to begin to move to that freedom and identity that Christ has? Have you found some ways that somebody's stuck and you can help them get unstuck and like, no, this is what the Lord has?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a great question. And it's something that we all need to do, is examine ourselves to see whether we're really in the faith, like Paul talks about in Corinthians. We need to look and be able to actually ask ourselves, where am I believing lies? And then ask the Holy Spirit, reveal in me where I'm believing lies. And as we do that reflection within ourselves and with the Holy Spirit, he can begin to show us the things that we have believed about ourselves or for our life or about God or about others that just simply aren't true. They're through deception. And if we can identify those false things and not identify with them as if they're who we are, but we can see them and expose them, then we can ask the Lord to reveal the truth to that lie. And when we see the lie and we see the truth, we can choose to repent of that lie and actually go to the Father. And for example, maybe someone's feeling right now in their heart, I'm just not good enough. I'm never good enough. No one's ever going to love me. I'm not loved. Well, that's not truth. That might be our experience and what we feel, but it's not truth. So if we can start to recognize, okay, God says in his word that he loves me through giving his son. And then we can say, God created me to be good originally in his image. And we can turn to the Father and say, Father, even though I feel at times that I'm not good enough and I'll never be loved, I thank you that your word is true and your word is what defines me, and that I receive that I am loved and that you did make me to be good in your image. And so we have to learn to fellowship with the Lord by taking the lies that we've believed, flipping them to truth, and then beginning to dialogue with God about truth.
That's beautiful. We're running out of time, as we always do. We never have enough time. So we're going to go into one more episode, tell you about, again, now your influence to the church at risk. But can you summarize right now to how that's impacting all this generation? What I love is you're representing the millennial. You have an audience and influence in millennials now, Gen Z, with your discipleship. And then you're going to see even baby boomers like myself. Ultimately, give a message, though, to the younger generation. I think a lot of us baby boomers are like, you're a breath of fresh air of a new life that's coming up. What is key now for this young generation that we as baby boomers support in the identity of Christ and really the ministry that God's given to you?
Yes, I would say the message to the body of Christ as a whole, but also to this generation that I'm in and the ones beneath me, is that we need to return to our first love. We need to find ourselves seeking his face again and be known as a generation that seeks his face. We need to turn from our idolatry. We need to repent from these false things that we've been seeking pleasure and identity and status and acceptance in. And we need to realize that we're never going to find the things that we're looking for in the world. And we're going to find those things in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage the younger generation to turn away from fear of man, turn away from people pleasing, turn away from status and pursuing acceptance in the world, turn away from finding your worth and your value through guise or through substance, and really recognize that those things are pits and traps that are going to leave you empty. You know, how many beers are you going to need to drink to have enough? How many joints will you need to smoke to have enough? How many times do you have to sleep with someone else to have enough? It'll never be enough, because the word of God is what satisfies us. And the Psalms cry, satisfy me in the morning with your steadfast love, so that I may rejoice and be glad all my days. And so to the younger generation, I would say there's a gladness for you. There's a joy for you. There's a victory and a hope for you, but it's not going to be found in seeking the things that are in this world.
All right, Jesse. Well, on your website, it says that you can receive biblical insights, encouragement, and opportunities delivered to your inbox. So just briefly, while we wrap up today, tell us where people can find you on the web and how they can sign up for your encouraging emails.
You can go to www.belovedandbelove.com. And on the homepage, you'll find a place to give us email information, and we can stay in touch with you through the inbox. And you also will find access on our resources tab to be able to access all of the back end library, where we've got video courses, ebooks, and a lot of different material for you to grow in and intimacy and identity with God.
Jesse, we got one more episode. I know, Ennis, we're going to hold on to you, but Mark, thanks for taking us out. And please come back for the third episode, everybody. You're going to really be excited and encouraged by what's happening then globally in our partnership with Jesse to the unreached and persecuted global church.
Hey, we want to encourage you as a listener to stay connected with what's happening with the global church and stay connected with what's happening with Jesse and IAM as well, as they participate in some of the ministries that happen at SOM International. We have a full color newsletter that comes out every month, and that shows various places that SOM is ministering around the world. You can sign up for that at atriskradio.com. Well, until next time, my name is Mark Stafford, and this has been At Risk Radio.
You've been listening to At Risk Radio. For more, go to atriskradio.com. At Risk Radio is a production of SOM International.